This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. When you're at your best, you can do great things. Working with a therapist can help you get closer to the best version of yourself. Because when you feel empowered, you're more ready for life's challenges. BetterHelp is a great therapy option. It's flexible, affordable, entirely online, and it matches you with a licensed therapist. Let therapy help empower you. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
With Instacart, you can get groceries and more delivered from over 1,000 stores and 75,000 locations. So whether you need a massive haul from a wholesale club, everyday essentials from your go-to supermarket, or specialty items from your favorite local grocer, you can get whatever you need delivered in as fast as an hour. You can even shop for pet supplies, electronics, and sporting goods in just a few clicks. Visit Instacart.com or download the app to get free delivery on your first order. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $10. Additional terms apply.
20 past the hour, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Congratulations are in order to our next guest, who I'm really fired up to talk to, and I'm a proud graduate of Temple University, and right now I'm actually wearing a cherry and white Temple Owls football jersey with the number 72 on the front and the last name of Klecko on the back. And now joining us on the Zach Gelb Show is the newest member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the great Joe Klecko. Joe, being able to hear Pro Football Hall of Famer in front of your name probably has a nice ring to it, right?
It is sweetness to my ears. It's been a great ride, but this whole time as we've been announcing it, it's been a run in the Klecko family for sure.
What goes through your mind when you think about it now, basically 2 weeks later? I know you've known for a while with the way that they inform you, but what goes through your mind when you look back and you go, wow, I finally made the Hall of Fame?
Really, it is, it's like one of them things, you know, the top of the mountain, and you know, it's a pedestal that not many people reach, and it takes a long time even to sink in, because you know, I was sitting with a friend of mine one day in his office, and we were talking about it, and he goes, you have to still learn that you belong, you know, it's because you know, I waited so long too, you know, you always have that doubt that creep in. And now that that's over and done, it was a process, you know, even to think about being accepted, you know. And then when we finally went out to Arizona and they announced it, and then we met with a lot of the other Hall of Fame guys there and all, and you know, everybody was just so gracious. The old guys, you know, when you go to a new team, a football team, you're given a cold shoulder a little bit sometimes by some guys, but this was not the case. Everybody that, you know, we were talking with and met, and it was more welcoming than anything.
Your last year playing football was in 1988. It's nothing that you could have changed throughout this entire process. Your career was great. It is what it was, right? And it was in the hands of somebody else. I know you talked about some doubts. How did you kind of remain positive? Because it had to be frustrating when so many people that are in the Hall of Fame keep on telling you, you belong, you belong, you belong.
Well, you know, it was, and, you know, after a while, you really just kind of keep going with the flow, and, you know, you get that call, and it's kind of like, hey, Joe, I think maybe this is the year, and then it doesn't happen. And, you know, I never got discouraged about it. You know, I always, like, I've always told everybody that if it's my time and God wants me there, then I'll be there. You know, and I accepted that, you know, and you know, when it finally came, though, it was really exciting. But you know, I didn't get discouraged. I never was down about it. But you know, I just figured if it was to be, it was to be.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Joe Klecko is here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Take me through the day where Joe Namath showed up at your door, knocked on your door, and told you were going to Canton, Ohio.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. My wife and my daughter had kept it from me, but I stayed home because they needed me, they said, for something. And he was really hilarious because I was expecting someone to be delivering lunch, you know. And here, my Lord, it's Joe Namath in his gold jacket with about 14 people standing behind him with cameras. So it was exciting. It was really a thrill. I mean, just an exhilarating thrill. It was fantastic.
You probably had to pinch yourself, right, to make sure that it was real?
Oh no, Dad. You know, as I watched it, and I'm sitting there, and I'm talking about it, and I'm saying to Joe, you know, oh my God, oh my God. And I said, you know, I got to admit, Joe, I said, it's never been better to see you than it is now. I mean, it was really a buildup. It was a crescendo. It really was.
Now, you became a finalist through the senior committee, so you knew there was a shot to get in this year. And I know Gary Myers was pretty optimistic about your chances to finally get enshrined into the Hall of Fame. Did you have any sense that day that Joe, well, maybe not Joe, but that you were going to get informed that, hey, you made the Hall of Fame?
Well, you know, like Gary said, I had made the three finalists. And, you know, he says, Joe, nothing's written in stone yet. He said, but, you know, usually, you know, it's a rubber stamp. But, you know, I told him, I said, listen, I'm a construction business. And until I sign on the dotted line or get the check, nothing's ever done. So, you know, I guess Joe Namath coming to the door that day was me finally getting a check that, you know, it was a long awaited.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Joe Klecko is here with us. So coming up this summer, it's going to be a day of celebration. It's also going to be a day where people reflect and remember your career. How do you want people to remember your career and what you did on the football field?
I just want them to remember the baby. I was the guy you can rely on. I was the guy that everybody depended on. I was the guy that was always going to be there no matter what the score, what any consideration of the game was, cold, wet, hot. You know, I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that there was one guy he could really count on, and that was me. And, you know, that's the way I played the game. I played the game, you know, like a lot of guys talk about that I played against. You know, it didn't matter what score it was, whether it be, you know, 10-10 or 30-0. I came the same way every single play. You had to get ready. So I like that about me.
The New York Sack Exchange, obviously iconic. It's just one of those nicknames of a group that people are going to remember for years and years still to come. Your memories about playing and being a part of the New York Sack Exchange?
Well, it was really exciting. Reason being is we were a bunch of young guys, and the New York Jets hadn't really gotten much fame up to then. And then, you know, the draft choices when Marty Lyons and Mark Gastineau got drafted 1 and 2 that year. And the next year, we basically became the Sack Exchange. You know, all of a sudden, you know, people were coming out of the woodwork. You know, shoe companies wanted to sign us. You know, everybody wanted us as far as, you know, appearances and things. And it was really, really falling off the cliff as far as something you never could possibly imagine as a youngster. And, you know, we were a bunch of young guys playing hard. And that was one of the great things that, you know, was that we can take to our graves is we played hard and we played together. And being a Sack Exchange really, I mean, it entered a new phase into our life, you know, with the notoriety.
When did you realize the importance of it, just wondering?
Well, the importance of it really was that the reason we got the name and the reason we got the notoriety is we were good.
Yeah.
I mean, the importance of it was we were able to do things that other people couldn't do. And at that time, you know, we were like one sack off the record. You know, the sacks weren't kept as a record yet, but we had 66 sacks that year. And I think the record now is 70. And, you know, that was held by the Eagles. But, you know, we were right there in that the whole time. And, you know, it's fun to be recognized as, you know, as a group that had to be reckoned with. And at times we struck fear into guys' eyes.
There's a lot of times with the Hall of Fame, there's guys that have to wait and wait and wait. And for years, we wonder why they didn't get in. Like, we went through this entire situation with Jerry Kramer, and thankfully, he eventually got in. When you try to pinpoint a reason, Joe Klecko, do you have any idea why it took this long?
You know, somebody said to me one day, I was talking to Joe Horgan, who's the, you know, the guy who's been running the Hall of Fame for a million years. He knows everybody. It was great talking to a guy like Eddie. He knew Bronco Nagurski and Red Grange. I'm like, oh my Lord, you know. So, you know, talking to him, he had told me one time when I was in the modern day voting that the voters were asking about me, like, well, what position does he play? You know, and they were trying to put me into a category, and they couldn't seem to do it. And they asked Joe DeLaMalure, the great guard from the Buffalo Bills I played against. He goes, does it really matter? Position.
So, yeah, the position shouldn't matter, right? You dominated. That was the bottom line.
Right, exactly. And for me, you know, really, you know, convincing yourself as you go away every year and you don't get it. You know, I always said, I said, I'm very proud of the guys that I played against in the Hall of Fame, always talking about, hey, you're the toughest guy, or you were one of the toughest guys, or, you know, name me or one other person. Like, I remember John Hanna saying, you know, that myself and Howie Long were the two toughest guys he ever played against, you know. So those kind of accolades were real good, you know, to take away. But, you know, there was always that missing element of, you know, the Hall of Fame.
Take me through the days when you were known as Jim Jones when you were playing semi-professional football and how you ended up at our school, Temple.
That's fun. Yeah, listen, I left high school. I didn't get any scholarships or anything like that. And, you know, I wasn't going to pay for college, and we were not a family of means. So I went to work, and then one day I was out, you know, watching a softball game, and one of the guys who was coaching this Aston Knights team said to me, hey, Joe, we got a bunch of guys that came out that I may know and all. And I went out to watch them play. And, you know, I mean, I came out to practice, and, you know, I started up, and, you know, I was pretty good at it. So I played for the Aston Knights, and that actually got me a scholarship to go to Temple.
That's an incredible story. So obviously you played your college ball for the legendary Wayne Harden. When did you realize that you could be great and do this for a living, maybe professionally one day?
Well, I think what it was in my junior year, the scouts started coming around and inquiring about me and wanting to interview me, you know. So, you know, I mean, you know, I realized that we were playing the Penn States of the world, and, you know, one of the big reasons, like, Penn State could never run on us was because of me. And, you know, they were talking about these All-Americans that I would play against and all, and I didn't have too many problems with these big All-Americans they were talking about. So, you know, I figured, you know what, if these guys are being touted as great players, you know, maybe I do have a chance. So I'd say my junior year came around, and I started realizing, you know, that I could possibly do this.
I know your son Dan pretty well, and we know what he ended up doing in the NFL as well, winning a few Super Bowls. What was your conversations like with Dan once you got the notification, the knock on the door from Joe Namath?
Oh, my kids are, well, you know, it's dad. So, you know, they were just, you know, 10 shades to the clouds. And my grandkids were jumping up and down. So, you know, of course, Danny and my son Michael and Joshua, all of them were on the phone, and, you know, we were talking, and then they all came over to the house the next day, and, you know, it was exciting. So, you know, getting the hurrahs from them and my grandkids too, that was fantastic.
So your grandkids know, hey, Grandpa's a pretty big deal. He's a pretty badass.
Yeah. Well, no, they still think I'm Grandpa. You know, so it really doesn't matter to them. They're always testing me and carrying on, and I love it.
This current group for the Jets, they had a really impressive season on the defensive side of the ball. What stood out to you with guys like Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams?
Well, again, they're great players. They, you know, I mean, Gardner got, you know, the Rookie of the Year, and Quinn's a perennial All-Pro right now. He just is a constant dominant force. And, you know, they have a pretty good array around them. You know, and, you know, it's not bad when you play for a head coach as a defensive-minded guy. So, you know, they had a great year. I mean, they have a few things to plug in, of course, which is the biggest plug at quarterback. And if they can accomplish that and, you know, patch up that offensive line, you know, the Jets could be possibly, you know, make a real run at something here.
Are you hoping they find a way to pull off a deal for Rodgers?
No. No, I don't. I don't think Rodgers is a fit with the young guys. You know, I relate them to myself with a young team that came up when we started winning, and why it was a good fit with all of us, because we all worked together and came up together, you know? And I just think, you know, I've watched Rodgers over the years. He's a great player. Hey, listen, you don't become MVP three times without doing what he's done. But, you know, when he didn't have the perfect arrangement with receivers and game plan and the line, you know, his attitude was condescending so much to the players, even when they would come back to the huddle and all. And I can't see that, you know, like Wilson, you know, he won the Rookie of the Year offensive player. I can't see him coming back to the huddle you know, Rodgers lambasting him for running the wrong route, you know? I mean, you just, it's not going to fit. I don't see it. You know, I see a guy like Carr, who's a, you know, who's an all-pro. He hasn't been an MVP, but he's had some great years. But I just can't see, you know, them going after, after, you know, a guy that has had all his years and had his way, and then when it doesn't turn out his way, he goes dark. You know, I just can't see it.
So you could see him ruin the locker room is what you're saying.
Absolutely. You got a young bunch of guys that are fighting with each other, and you have a bring a guy in who has his own opinion about things. I think that can turn a bad feeling in that locker room.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Joe Klecko still has a great ring to it. I know it's never going to get old. Joe, we're so happy for you and your family. Thanks so much. Appreciate you doing this.
Thanks.